Welcome to the 4Money Audio Commentary. This is David Four on Friday, the 13th of July, recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, actually for the week, because this is a big picture, long-term outlook for markets. So, over the week, stock markets, well, we had seen a easier tone in Asia. The big exception was the ASEAN sector, where pretty much, well, most of those markets were quite firm, although not the Philippines, which had become overextended last month and at the beginning of this month, and has seen a little bit of a pullback. But they've been standouts throughout this ranging corrective phase that we've seen elsewhere. China a little steadier on Thursday. And today. Now, in Europe, we'd seen some ranging and easing in the markets, but they had a good day in here today, and bond yields for Spain and Italy have inched down a little bit lower. The U.S. markets, indices, I should say, had been drifting lower. But had a pretty much all week, but had a good upward dynamic in here today. And the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ 100 are all up over 1.5%. Brazil doing quite well, up 1.7% on talks of China reflation. So the South American markets all benefiting from that. And long-dated government bond prices, which have been pushing higher, futures prices have been pushing higher, but had a little bit of profit-taking in here today. The U.S. dollar, which has been very firm, but it's softened in here today. So this was, Friday was very much a risk-on day, to use that banality, but I use it because everybody knows what it means now. And it's probably entered the lexicon forever. And let's see, elsewhere, in commodities, we have seen precious metals sag down within their ranges until yesterday, when they were weaker yesterday, but then they rallied later on in the day to greatly narrow those losses, leave tails on the charts, with silver even closing to the upside. And we had some good follow-through in here today. We've got gold, well, off its highs. It was up to 1596, nearly 1997, 1597 today. But looks like it's closing out. We're still a little after hours trading, up 18 at 1590. And platinum, up $20 here, 1432 and change. So it was decent, decent last couple of days here for the precious metal sector. Now, industrial metals, they've been firming upwards recently, and we had good upward dynamics here today. Crude oil, which had been consolidating earlier gains, but was quite firm today, up over 102.70 for the Brent and up to 87.08 for the WTI. Grain and beans, they've been on a real tear. We saw a little bit of profit taking coming in today, although, excuse me, soybeans and corn still ended with small gains. No, soybeans had strong gains here today. I beg your pardon. Corn and wheat pared back those gains, but say they have been on a tear over the last 4 weeks. And coffee also firm. I think that's pretty much, well, those are the main highlights, but I should mention just in commodities generally, the CCI index is quite steady and has rallied It's had another one of those equal-sized rallies, having bounced up off the predictable 500 level support level, and is back testing the underside of its declining 200-day MA. Okay, so what's going on here in terms of the big picture? Well, I'll sound like a broken record in saying that these are nervous markets. We all understand why. They've been nervous for really quite some time in here. Although, while we know there are plenty of problems, my feeling overall is that people are overemphasizing the downside. I think that's true for pretty much all markets. Now, the tone for that perhaps is set by Europe's problems, and my goodness, I wouldn't underestimate the seriousness of those problems for 1 minute. But a lot of that's already written into the prices, and you've got some good valuations available in Europe. And then we have the U.S. situation where people are fretting about the political impasse and the building debt overall, and that is a serious problem. But investors don't buy the economy, they buy equities, and a lot of U.S. equities are really doing quite well overall, not least, just going to turn the volume down a tiny bit here, not least the autonomies, or I should say first the dividend aristocrats, some of which are autonomies, and high-yielding shares outperforming generally. Now, where do we go from here? Well, Wall Street, in terms of its leash effect, is really a huge influence, and today's upward dynamic, I think, is potentially quite important because we've got another higher low, unless that's immediately reversed early next week, and I'm not forecasting that. What we have is a pattern that shows ranging, but within a mild upward bias. We've got that early June low, and then we've got the late June low, and now we've got the mid July low potentially for Wall Street, but it's a steady action overall, and a lot of people are very worried that this year is going to turn out to be like 2011 or worse. And of course, you remember this time last year, stock markets were getting ready for a major drop, from which they then rebounded quite strongly in the fourth quarter and the first of last year and the first quarter of this year. Well, is it deja vu all over again? Is history going to repeat itself all over again? And I'm of the view that that's less likely than most people actually feel. And I think there's an even better chance that markets remain a steady or even surprise to the upside with a vigorous rally. But this is still a tricky period in here overall, seasonally, and also in terms of the news that's unfolding. But the longer stock markets can range in a reasonably steady fashion throughout this generally weakish seasonal period, I think the better off they'll be come year end. But let's draw a line under all this. We can't get a major rout without first taking out some of those rising lows that we're seeing on Wall Street. And the first warning, as I say, would be below this week's lows, then below the late June lows. And the important level is the early June lows. So, as far as Fuller Money is concerned, and Owen and I are agreed on this, of course, that as long as those June reaction lows on Wall Street are holding, We will remain optimistic about seeing a decent rally through to the year end and probably beyond. So not a bad time here overall. A number of interesting shares in the tech sector have pulled back to their moving averages, and Owen's done a review of those today. You know our view overall on this. In terms of our favored shares, we certainly don't like them in the short term when they have soared up and away from their 200-day moving averages. The time when they appeal to us is when they've seen a mean reversion back to those same levels. And that applies to a lot of the autonomy type companies right now. Now, China, I should just talk a little bit about that in terms of the stimulus expectations. And there are so many bearish reports coming out on China, mostly from the West. Some of them are apocalyptic. I think that that's wide of the mark overall, although I touch wood when I say that, because what I'd really like to see is an improvement in those Chinese A shares. They're at a level where they're oversold and they should get a bounce, but until we see a decent rally in those A shares, the bear concerns will still be prevalent in the market overall. My feeling is that they're stepping up their stimulus. Ditto India and a number of the other so-called growth economies. And I think that's right. I think they need to. I've said frequently that my biggest concern was that they were going to wait too long, as is the nature of central banks, always fighting the last war. And in the case of China and India, that was inflation concerns, which have eased. They'll pick up again if we get good, vigorous rallies through year end. But that's let's get there. Let's get there first. So those inflationary pressures would pick up again. Okay. What about these long dated government bond prices? Well, they're a good barometer of the fear that is felt by many investors. But when we can understand why people have poured money into these markets, and they've also got governments doing the same through the quantitative easing programs. But when we think about the long-term outlook for this, when you're at record or near record low yields, that you really do feel that it's going to be a grim outlook for a long time to want to invest in 10-year, let alone 30-year, long-dated government bonds. And I question the wisdom of that view. If you want yield, and many people do, I would much prefer, including myself, want yield, I would much prefer corporate bonds or the government bonds of countries that have decent balance sheets. Many of those would be in Asia. And I certainly like the dividend aristocrat type shares. So on a long-term basis, I think we will see bond yields move upwards, but hopefully slowly, and they may well stay in this region for a good many more months while there's so much apprehension about what's going on in terms of the overall global economy. Now, in terms of currencies, we mostly have range-bound patterns overall. The dollar, as you know, is very much a safe haven currency. The dollar had a sufficient number of bearish yearly moves that we feel that it's probably in an overall bottoming out and support building phase, but this can take years to complete. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if we saw the dollar maintaining the current role that we currently see, and that is range bound, firm within the range against most other currencies when investors are worried about what's going on economically and in terms of geopolitical developments, and easing back, greenback easing back when stock markets are showing that investors are a little bit more confident. So I think that will go on. If there is one currency that really should go lower over the medium to longer term, that would be the euro. I think the ECB, there's little doubt that the ECB would happily see that happen. It just wants an orderly decline, and it's probably going to get an orderly decline because the euro is is of course an important reserve currency. And I think even Germany is resigned to the fact that the euro will move lower. They don't have many inflationary pressures now in Germany, and of course the cons to worry about, and the consolation of the weaker euro will be the improvement in their export earnings. So I think we will see that. If there's a case for another currency to move lower, I feel it's the Japanese yen, but we've got a stubborn BOJ governor there who does not go along with the reflationary instincts that we see within the government. So thus the strong yen still. My feeling is that the yen is going to weaken over the medium over the medium term, just because it's really quite overvalued at these levels. Commodities are an awfully interesting sector overall. I describe them variously as for over a decade, I've been describing them variously as first the next big thing, and then that eventually becomes the next big problem. And what I mean by that is that we have the components of a commodity supercycle here, as I've mentioned on so many occasions in the past, so I don't need to repeat that. But you can see it in the rise of all of these growth economies, these China-led growth economies, and the GDP growth that whole region is actually seeing, the rise of the middle classes in these countries, as well fueling this demand for commodities. And that was occurring after a long secular bear market that really continued into the early part of this century, into around 2001, 2002. So I think that's a key background. And the every time we get a pickup in global GDP growth, and we've had the opposite of that recently, which is why commodities fell for over a year from highs in April 2011, that CCI index that I refer to and illustrate on a number of occasions, came down quite steadily. And that has provided the reset that should help to at least reset at lower prices, that should help to create a favorable background for monetary stimulus, which we're now seeing from the Asian countries as well, leading to a resumption or a pickup in their growth rates. And that will eventually drive commodity prices back upwards again. I think the commodity prices may even be beginning to discount that prospect. Then we have the precious metals. Well, I'll come back to the precious metals, but let me stay with the others first. We do have one area where we are going to see some commodity inflation sooner rather than later, and that is in the grain and bean prices due to the dry weather, first that we saw in South America and that we have seen more recently in the United States. So that is going to be a problem, but fortunately, we have not seen similar action in the rough rice market, largely because there's less rice grown in the United States. It's mainly an Asian crop. If we get, or if we were to see a similar spike in rough rice, similar to what we've seen in corn and soybeans recently, that would create a major problem. But I am concerned about the surge that we've seen in corn and soybeans, and that's also put upward pressure on wheat prices. To move from that bad news in terms of commodity price inflation to the good news, crude oil prices had a reset at a considerably lower level. Now they are $10 off those lows overall, but that's not enough of a move back to the upside to reverse what I feel is a much more favorable environment in terms of energy prices than we were seeing earlier in the year. Now, industrial metals also have seen quite a pullback. That's been reflected in the weakness of a number of mining shares. But with the China stimulus underway, don't be surprised. In fact, we do think we will see firmer industrial metals over the remainder of this year and quite possibly beyond. They've fallen back sufficiently not to have that contribute to inflationary problems, a recovery in metal prices, not to contribute to inflationary problems really for quite some time. Now, the ones that interest me the most right now, and I dare say interest many other subscribers, is the precious metal sector. And my theme, just to review that very quickly, is that following the upward accelerations that we had seen in 2011, with peaks in April for silver and in August and September for gold, big overextensions relative to their 200-day moving averages, those always end badly, and predictably we have seen a major correction. We've seen that at least on two other occasions in the last 10, 11 years for the gold cycle, this secular bull market cycle for this monetary metal. And there has been a consistency in terms of the way prices have developed in the two previous overextensions. And you basically get 8, 9, sometimes 10 months of what I would describe as distribution. And that's when people are coming out of the market and it's supply dominated, pushing prices lower. And then the second half of that corrective phase, and sometimes the second half is slightly shorter, we get, in terms of time duration, we get back into the accumulation phase when people are buying back into these metals and they are demand dominated. And that's reflected, of course, in higher ranging or higher trending rather within the overall ranging pattern. Now, I've been saying that I felt that precious metals were in a support building phase, but we would not have confirmation of that until we saw some short-term upward trends develop. I still feel that that's the case, and I have referred to this trampolining characteristic where these precious metals, and watch gold is probably one of the better examples, but also platinum. Well, you see it in all of them, really. You'll see it in silver, where they sag down and then spring up more quickly within those ranges. And that was a little bit of that was evident again today in the rally for gold. But there's still a risk. We can't rule out the possibility of some additional weakness in these precious metals. Certainly that would be a real prospect if we were to see the lows of the last couple of months taken out. But while those lows hold, and they have held here, the precious metals have found support this week, yesterday, and today where they needed to. And the longer they're able to range near current levels, the more likely they are to be establishing that next short-term upward trend within the overall ranging pattern. And my best guess, and it can only be a guess at this stage, is that we are still on course for stronger markets, stronger precious metal markets, over the remainder of this year, and with gold hitting new all-time highs in 2013. And on that note, I don't think there's anything more interesting to talk about than gold at this stage. So it's time for me to say all the best. Have a great weekend.